Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thanks to Pete for the update. Get you your Beltway Blitz in just a second. Remember our movie club every day at 12:45 on Grant and Danny. Just a fun thing we came up with, knowing that everyone would be quarantining, needing something to do each evening. The movie over the weekend was Molly's Game, which I can't wait to talk about. I love this movie. Hadn't seen it since the theaters and completely forgot about it, but it is really, really good. Speaking of movies, though, before we get to the Blitz, ESPN just tweeted this a moment ago. They say you can only keep three of these nine movies. You get to keep three. I'll give you the nine. You got to pick three, okay?
All right, ready to go.
Friday Night Lights, Rudy, Coach Carter, Remember the Titans, The Blind Side, Space Jam, Rocky, Glory Road, and Miracle. Those are the nine movies. Do you need them again? You got them.
I think I've got it because I just typed the ones that I would instinctively keep, and I got three. So I think I'm ready to go.
All right. The three that you would keep are?
Friday Night Lights, one of my favorite books of all time, turned into an excellent movie. Rocky, which is incredible, and Miracle. Those are my three.
I like that. I went Friday Night Lights, Rudy, and Remember the Titans.
Yeah, that's there's a pantheon movie for Jeeps.
Space Jam, I got to tell you. I mean, you could give me nine movies with these nine, and I wouldn't keep Space Jam. You couldn't pay me enough to watch that movie again as an adult. As a kid, I probably liked it at some point, but probably not that much. I wasn't really into cartoons. The next one I would eliminate is Glory Road. It might be because I bought Glory Road for like $5 from a guy on the Metro, and I got the DVD thinking it was a real DVD, and then it was like recorded in a movie theater with like people standing up the entire time. But I don't think I've ever even seen it all the way through. I've got not much of a file on that, so I'm good on Glory Road. So get rid of that one. Everything else is competitive. Rocky was really good. Loved Miracle. Coach Carter was pretty solid. But those three stand out pretty easily for me. Friday Night Lights, Rudy, and Remember the Titans.
Yeah, so for me, Remember the Titans would be my last one out doing a tournament style. It's still an excellent movie, but it doesn't hold up to the other three, in my opinion. I mean, Rocky was, I believe, an Academy Award winner. I mean, it's not just a boxing story. It's a love story. You know, it's just more than that kind of thing.
But it is also, it is time for our Beltway Blitz. The teams in town you care the most about, let's get to it, as we do every day right here at noon on Grant and Danny. Starts you off with the Redskins and our buddy Chris Russell, who's covered the team for years. You can read his work at SI.com. Chris, why don't we start with the quarterback situation? Kyle Allen is in. Dwayne Haskins is still here. How much of a competition are you expecting come training camp?
Well, I'm expecting a full competition. I'm expecting basically I'll just say this. I don't know if Kyle Allen or Dwayne Haskins is going to get the very first reps, but I would say it's a flip of the coin. I feel pretty safe in saying that. I do not think, Grant, maybe you guys think differently, I do not think a very solid, good, whatever you want a way to describe the way Dwayne Haskins finished up his season before injuries, and injuries were a big part of it, that automatically means that he is the starter. Do I think that in their mind they go in with him as saying, okay, this is the guy, the top-end talent that we have to develop and we have to push the buttons of? Yes. I don't think that automatically means he gets those very first reps and he is treated as the absolute starter versus an absolute backup. I think it's much more open than that.
Russell, is it fair to say, because I think the world at large views Kyle Allen one way, somewhere in that visor wearing, look at the Microsoft Surface backup tier. Is it fair to say that that's not how Ron Rivera and maybe his regime view him?
Yeah, I believe that very much to be true. And look, I mean, maybe I think differently if he didn't start 12 games last year. I know he got moved aside for Will Greer at the end, but he knows Scott Turner as well as any person is going to know Scott Turner and the terminology and the language and the playbook. And by the way, guys, today was when the Redskins were able to, under the old world that we used to live in, actually report to the facility and begin the off-season program so they can actually get, like, the iPads and the playbooks and all that stuff today digitally. I guess there's some Julie Donaldson mentioned, something about they can't have virtual meetings. So at least Dwayne Haskins is going to get some of the information. But Kyle Allen, whatever information he gets, whatever information Dwayne Haskins gets, Kyle Allen has a huge advantage over that. It's like, it just is a huge advantage. And for people that don't want to believe it's a huge advantage, they're absolutely missing the point. He knows Scott Turner better than anyone is going to know Scott Turner and what Scott Turner wants to do with this offense. Period.
Russell, the Bills don't think Josh Norman was used properly by the Redskins. They think they can get a bunch out of him that Washington didn't. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, here's what I would say. Yes, whenever Josh Norman was in man-to-man coverage, for the most part, he was used wrong here because he's not a man-to-man corner. He doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the size, and it only got worse. The problem is when you pay a guy $75 million a year, like Bruce Allen and the Redskins did, you have no choice, essentially, to use him in a way that he's not really designed to do. So, as a third corner, if you want to line him up and roll him up in a cover three type look with a single high, great. I'm sure he'll be better, and I'm sure he'll have less of a bullseye. But that doesn't mean that Josh Norman was perfect even in that coverage, number one, and that he's just going to be blanket lights out. So, I mean, good luck is what I would say. They have a better – they have a very good defensive scheme there. I have no doubt he'll be better in Buffalo than ultimately he was the last 2 years. I have no doubt in my mind that Josh Norman was still a bust, ultimately, when you look at the 4 years that he spent here.
Russell, when the Redskins play again, whether it's September or next September, I don't know. Let's say they line up and play football. Who's their left tackle going to be?
That's a great question. For lack of a great answer, I would just say right now, at least you'd have to think Jaron Christian's name is penciled in, right? Because they haven't brought back Donald Penn, even though he says he wants to play again. Cornelius Lucas played more at right tackle than I would assume it would be a battle between those two guys. I mean, they did bring him in on a 2-year contract, but I would say you have to have a battle between those two guys, short of them trading down and drafting somebody in the first round, when we talk about one of, potentially four first-round left tackle prospects. If they don't do that, I would say it's a combination of the – unless somebody that we're not expecting comes free, after the draft, which is always and entirely possible, especially in this wackadoo offseason. Again, somebody could come free that we're not thinking of right now that could compete with those guys, but I would say it's a battle between those two guys right now.
What a battle that would be. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Ah, man, that's fun right there. Cornelius Lucas or Lucas Cornelius, whichever one it is, against Jaron Christian. Hey,
is
Russell,
that his name, Lucas Cornelius? I don't know. I may have just screwed that up. I don't know.
I think it's Cornelius Lucas.
Author
thank you for
or
the
left
time.
Tackle.
Much appreciated, right, buddy.
Thanks, Phyllis.
So let's talk some baseball with Jesse Dougherty. Jesse Dougherty covers the Nats for the Washington Post, and you can read his book, Buzzsaw, which is out right now. Jesse, we should be talking about a week in the books and a homestand ongoing and the banner being unfurled, but none of that happened. I mean, for you, what was the hardest part of the last few days, just kind of getting through knowing you should have been at the ballpark?
Yeah, I mean, definitely difficult. Last Thursday, what would have been the home opener, I actually walked down there. You know, my colleague Barry Shaluga did as well, and both of us sort of had the idea that we wanted to sort of see what the vibe was around the ballpark. There probably is some sort of just odd pull as well. Like, you know, it's early April, and we feel like we probably should be there. So both of us walked down there separately, and it was definitely a sad scene, seeing the empty stadium and, you know, all the gates closed and the bars around it all empty and you know, doing grocery delivery service or whatnot. It just was kind of dark and definitely weird. We should be covering and talking about baseball right now, but, you know, here we go. We still wait.
Jesse, I am nowhere near smart enough to solve the problem. Okay, I want that on record. I don't have good ideas. I'm just sort of waving my hand generally at the issue. But let's just say that the smart people do get together, and there is baseball in this calendar year. What would it look like? How would they manifest that? Just in terms of some of the logistics and maybe the differences on field or what it would look like on television.
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. I think one of the major questions is, if you want to start a season with no fans in the stadium and allow games to play, and then obviously it probably becomes a monumental TV event because people are really clamoring right now for any sort of form of sport to watch. But if it's not safe enough to have people in the stands, is it safe enough to have the 50, 60, 70 or so people it takes to just run a game? And that's worth consideration as well. So that's the big question, because that would probably inform when this can start, because if there is a propensity to do games without fans, then it probably could, a potential start date, whatever it may be, could probably get bumped up a bit. But if it's not that, if they're going to just try and wait until it can be sort of somewhat business as usual and pretty normal, I think it would be an incredibly short season, you know, maybe even less than half of the 82 games. You're talking about a sprint to the playoffs. You're probably cutting out the entirety of interleague play. You're probably going to do most games against your division so you can safely crown a division champion. So I would say it's sort of like this marathon sprint. I would think in a way it sort of mirrors like college football, where, you know, the regular season almost has a playoff atmosphere because you can't really lose one or two games or you're knocked out of the playoffs. Obviously in baseball, it would be like, you know, you can't lose 12 to 15 games, but every sort of division game, if in a sort of hypothetical truncated schedule, would mean a lot. So, competitively, it might be interesting. Obviously, it's not the situation anyone wants to be in. There's a lot of financial ramifications and a lot of people, you know, really suffering from this. But I could see, you know, a really quick sprint season if it clears up and we're allowed to do it this year. But I don't think anything other than that would be possible.
Jesse, it sounds like Victor Robles' agent is changing agencies. Rafa Nieves, 36-year-old Venezuelan native. And what's interesting about that, I normally wouldn't care or bring it up on the show, but with guys like Soto and Robles, who your agent is determines whether or not you're willing to sign some of these really long extensions to buy out arbitration years, a la everyone on the Braves who has signed crazy contracts to help them out for the next several seasons. Do we know what Robles' agent's thinking is on that? Because obviously Soto, repped by Boris, is not going to be signing one of those deals.
Yeah, so Victor is going with Rafa Nieves to his new company, and I think, you know, we obviously haven't seen Victor jump to one of those contracts yet, I think, so we'll probably maintain pretty status quo for him since he's not changing representation. But certainly, like, you're right. I mean, it does shuffle the calculus overall. I would say Rafa Nieves, knowing him a bit, is very much his own person, and it's evidence in the fact that he's breaking off from Wasserman to go off to start his own agency. At the same time, maybe there is certain edicts that come down from the top in an agency like Wasserman that says we don't sign certain contracts, or we do. So in the sense that, you know, Rafa now being his own entity and being the head of his own company and representing a guy like Vic, maybe the calculus of his future planning or his contract negotiations does change a little bit. Again, since it's the same agent, I don't think it will change immensely, but it's certainly something to watch for sure. And you're right, in the spirit of having storylines without baseball, that's certainly one of them. It's something worth bringing up.
Jesse, thank you, buddy. I always appreciate the time, dude.
Of course, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you, man.
That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. If you thought the draft being conducted on location virtually from around the country from homes is going to slow down the betting done on the event, you're probably wrong. Wait till you hear some of the wacky props you can bet on for the NFL draft. We'll get into that next. Plus, what D'Angelo Hall said on our show Friday that made national headlines. I'll give you that audio on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Have Funny Danny on Instagram. I got Humorous Danny on Instagram.
The Bet Online folks sent over this email a few minutes ago. Opened it, thinking not much of it. I said, oh, I got to bounce this off old Danny as soon as possible. This actually made me laugh. So, you know that the NFL draft is going to go on. We don't know if the season's going to happen in September or not. We're hopeful that it will. But the NFL draft is happening, and you could do that without putting people at risk. They're going to do it almost virtually. It seems like teams are going to be drafting from various bunkers and homes. There are going to be very few people in rooms, and all the players are going to be joining the broadcast from their houses. It's going to be both weird and incredible. For the first time, we'll do it this way, but also it's going to be live, amazing content that we're all ravenous for.
I need it.
Can't wait, right? It's going to be good television.
So, I love it anyway. I'll love it even more now.
I bring this up to tell you, Danny, that BetOnline is moving forward with their possible props for the NFL draft night that they always put together. But they've now catered them to this home draft that's going to be taking place. So here are some of the things that they are offering for you to bet on. Who will the number one pick hug first? Now, I think this one is just a slam dunk. It's always the mom, right? You stand up, you hug your mom, 5-4. Dad, 5-2. The value here is girlfriend, 3-1. I mean, she's probably sitting closest to you. A lot of times, though, players wait to hug their girlfriend until after they hug their parents. Their girlfriend kind of knows in that moment. The parents
You're
have
the
been here their
seat.
Entire
yeah,
lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
I've been here for a few months, maybe a year or two. They get the hug first. You could also go friend or sibling. It's not going to be a sibling. It's not going to be a friend.
It's not the agent.
3-1. Agent's not even listed here. That would be a good one to add.
Right, right.
3-1 for the girlfriend is where the money is. But I think the easy answer is mom, right?
It's a proximity thing, because here's how it could go. Dad first, because he's right there. Longer extended hug for mom second, right? The second hug could be the bigger hug. The first one could be, hey, quick, I got to get up there. Second, I can't leave mom. There she is. You know
the
what I mean?
Dad like, normally so, is very patient, though.
Yeah.
He normally waits, knowing that
think.
Mom wants this hug first. I'll wait it out. You know, you and I don't need to really embrace.
Mm-hmm. We could handshake in a very austere
exactly.
way. Yeah.
So the next one here, highest number of people in the same room. I think they have set this very low, but they are thinking about social distancing. So highest number of people in the same room, they've got 9.5. You think of a draft party and you normally think of 30, 40 people. Obviously, if you have that many people on camera, you're going to get eviscerated by the masses on social media publicly because you're not following the rules. And this is later this month. The rules will still be going on. I believe we'll get an over 9.5, though. It might be something like 12, 15, 17. It'll be kind of a family and friends type gathering in someone's living room. I mean, look, did you see the photos from the seafood market at the wharf this weekend?
Oh, I saw it. I saw it real good. Unbelievable.
The mayor had to step in and shut it down because people are stupid and can't keep themselves from doing things they're not supposed to do. So we have to help people be less dumb. I say over 9.5. What about you?
I say under.
Really?
I think it's going to happen that you'll get like a slight extended family bit and a girlfriend in there, but I think it'll be 7 or 8, including the player. I think people will adhere to this thing.
For fear, essentially, of being chastised, right?
Right.
I mean, because you know, it's like posting a picture on your Instagram where, you know, you painted badly or, you know, there's something in the picture you know everyone's going to comment on. You're
or you post anything anywhere ever. And pretty
well,
much.
That's true. Here's a good one. Total dogs shown during the first round. Now, we all know if Danny was drafted 32 times, there'd be zero dogs.
There would be zero, yes.
But because we're going to see presumably as many as 32 house parties going on, how many dogs will we see? The over-under is set at 3.5. I'm going over 3.5 dogs seen on draft night at people's houses.
That is interesting. That's hard.
Do you keep your dog away knowing it could kind of be an annoyance? Do you let it be on camera because it's a cute French bulldog? What do you do?
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things, right, where it's like half the people are going, oh, my God, it's so funny. There's a kid at the press conference. actually everyone's trying to do their jobs and get their quotes to get their deadlines handled. You know, we're all trying to actually get the information. It's adorable. The kid is cute. No one's saying the kid's not cute, but should it be at the presser? Half the people would love that. Like, oh, my God, there's the Yorkie. It's yelping. I'd like to hear from the player, please. I'd like to hear from the dad. You know what I mean? So half the people, I think, will think it's so cute.
Like, big country offensive lineman with, like, some type of lab sitting on the couch next to him is going to happen once or twice.
Yeah, like, this here's blue. He ain't leaving or something like that. Maybe. I don't know.
You going over or under?
I'll say over. I'll say over on that. I think people make the mistake of having the dog involved when it shouldn't be.
Four dogs at least from Danny. I like that. A total cat shown. They are saying one half of one cat. I say under. There will be no cats. Anyone who has a cat wouldn't want people to know they have a cat because it's a cat. Mm-hmm. But they're saying half a cat. What if a part of a cat is seen at some, literally half of a cat is seen on screen? Does that count?
I think that's a whole cat sighting. A portion of a cat counts as a cat. So I'm going to say under, meaning I think there's zero cats.
Nobody's this could got a cat.
Be, this could be a Scalder. This could win the Calder Trophy if I was an NHL player. I think NFL players don't have cats. I think there's like a 0.1% of guys that do. But I think for the most part, NFL guys are not cat guys.
Yes, when NFL players live on their own and do their own thing, they don't have cats. There's no denying that. We all agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think everyone gets that NFL players wouldn't want a cat.
But I feel like Nick Sundberg, in a quirky way, has a cat that's named Snapper.
Well, first, if you're married, your wife might like cats. So, like, Sundberg's wife, Flora, might like a cat. Cats, Greg? But these players are at their parents' houses, most of them. They're not watching this at their place.
They might have the cat inflicted upon
back home. These are their parents' cats. So whether or not they have cats, I think you're completely botching your thought on this. This is about their parents, and their parents have cats.
It's a decent point by you.
Old people have cats, man. Next one. By the way, I'm going under one half. You are as well?
I went under half, yeah.
Will any draftees experience local technical difficulties? So some kind of issue with the video or the audio? 1,000%.
Lockty,
yes.
That happens.
Plus
like the camera gets bumped and nobody notices and it's pointed at people's knees.
Right.
Something like that, 100%.
You could actually win money, though, if you bet on no, for the record, which is odd. But there's just no chance that that won't happen. Will any first-round draftee put on the wrong team hat? I say no. That would be a big mistake.
Ooh.
How could you put on the wrong hat?
Maybe, like, you can't hear and, like, your agent said. I'm going to say no, that doesn't happen. But it wouldn't Wichita State shock me. I mean, there would be.
That would be unprecedented.
There'd be no precedent, but this whole thing's unprecedented, right? Like, some people can't hear down the line. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't be the craziest thing out of this.
You're on TV. It's not the moment you get picked. You've had enough time that someone's going to tell you, hey, you got drafted by the Bills. You're wearing a Panthers hat. Let's switch that. There's just no way. Will any draftee be shown drinking beer? I say absolutely not, starring Wadzina, the former nutrition coach at EMP 180 Weight Loss. There's no way they're going to be drinking beer. Most of them are either just 21 or a little bit over 21, hanging out with their parents, so they'll be having beer. But what are they going to do, start guzzling beer on live television?
I think
can't see it.
One O-lineman, or like, you know, one dude, like, does a Steve Weiser bit where he, like, cracks two and does it just because he knows it'll be his moment of
viral
internet infamy forever.
Well,
you know,
that's
like
funny.
It'll will be the guy that is now beloved by fans. Like, let's say, like, Quentin Nelson a couple years ago gets drafted by the Colts and instantly goes, excuse me one second, and then, like, reaches down and takes a couple Steve Weisers, slams them both on the couch, and spikes them, and then that's the show. Can you imagine?
David Bakhtiari of the Packers.
Yeah,
you know,
cult status
the game
forever for that guy. I don't think it's going to happen, but that wouldn't be the craziest. So I'll bet no, but, man, would that be awesome.
You make a compelling case. I'm saying no as well. By the way, a lot of money to be had here, 7-1 plus 700.
Only yes? Yeah.
If you bet that someone does that.
30,
I mean, why not?
Yes.
You might as well throw some cash down and then, like, tell your buddy who gets drafted out of, like, Iowa as an offensive lineman at 28 to guzzle some beer. And then lastly, will any draftee pop champagne? I say no.
No to
if
that.
Someone does, plus 600, 6-1 there.
I'm saying no to that as well. But I think the beer chug more likely than the champagne pop.
12:45 on Grant and Danny today. We've got your movie club. Molly's Game is what we watched over the weekend. At 1 o'clock, Rick Snyder on the loss of Bobby Mitchell. And at 1:30 today, new Redskins linebacker Thomas Davis. You'll want to hear that right here on G&D.
Well,
Last week, D'Angelo Hall was on NFL Network, his national gig, talking about the Redskins and their quarterback situation. And he was skeptical that Dwayne Haskins would be able to hold off Kyle Allen. And that surprised us a whole lot. So we reached out to D'Angelo and had him on the show on Friday. And if you missed the interview, you got to go back and grab it. There's a story written about it on thefandc.com. And I can link to it on Twitter right now, as a matter of fact. So you can just go to at Grant H. Paulson, and you will find the story. But here is what he said when he joined us on Grant and Danny on Friday. And it's an interview. You should listen to it in its entirety.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm absolutely worried for Haskins keeping the job because I want to see this organization in a good place in 5 years, in 10 years, and, you know, in the next 2-3 years, not necessarily just next season. And so if you, you know, if you think about how this offseason already has unfolded, you know, it's very similar to the year of the lockout where you're not going to get a lot of time with your teammates is looking like. And so knowing that Kyle Allen has the advantage of knowing this offense, of having played in meaningful games, you know, with this coaching staff, you know those guys trust him. And, you know, to bring him into a quarterback room that, you know, that has Dwayne Haskins, a young, impressionable player who's still trying to figure out who he is as a player in this league, who had great success in college. You know, I've always felt like if you're going to give the keys to a guy, give the keys to the guy. Don't put anybody behind him, especially in this situation that's going to just cause any type of distraction or any added pressure to Dwayne Haskins. And bringing in a guy like Kyle Allen, does he help his football team? Absolutely. Will he hurt in some way Dwayne Haskins' progression? I think so.
He really thinks Allen's a threat. You and I debated this last mm-hmm. week. We could put a quick bow on this by discussing that comment. But I've got another question I want to ask you that popped up this weekend in the show I was doing with Eric Bickle. But the reaction you had to what D'Angelo Hall said is that you actually agreed with him more so than even I did. I agree with his take if we're talking about Cam Newton or Jameis Winston. Because we're talking about Kyle Allen, I don't quite buy that Haskins should be looking over his shoulder or concerned or that he should be worried necessarily, but I know you are with D. Hall on this because of his experience in this offense.
Well, not quite to the same degree that Hall is. And I think where the thing that I would say is that a lot of this depends on your view of what Kyle Allen is, right? So I think D'Angelo Hall and Ron Rivera and Scott Turner think of Kyle Allen as one thing. I think of him as part of the visor tier. I don't think those guys do. And this is one of those things. Your priorities when you first get the job become very clear. Quentin Dunbar was mad because he wasn't a priority. He didn't get the phone call quickly enough as all the coaches and general managers and everybody assembled to decide the fate of the team. So he was mad. He was outside looking in. Sounds like Trent Williams wasn't contacted. I disagree with that, by the way. He should have been in the first 50, 100 days, whatever, of Ron Rivera. But that's a side note. The first thing they could have done is gone out into the JAG free agent corps and just gotten a veteran to sit in the room and encourage Dwayne Haskins and push him in the sense that to be a veteran. They didn't. They went and got a guy that if he has to play, they think he can play well in maybe short spurts or maybe longer than that because of his familiarity with the offense. And it cost them a draft pick to do it. It's not a huge price to pay, but neither is a few million bucks for a backup to hold the clipboard. So to me, they told you what they think of Kyle Allen, maybe more so than the rhetoric. So I'm not saying that Kyle Allen's going to beat Dwayne Haskins out for the job. I think that's wrong. I think Haskins is going to get a chance to play. I think because of all the obstacles in his way of this bizarre, quirky season, if and when it happens, I think he might struggle out the gate, and I think they'll turn to Kyle Allen sooner than they should, which to me is never, but I think they're going to go to him at some point in the first 5-6 weeks of the season because the team is struggling.
Yeah, and what I would say to that is kind of what I said to Eric this weekend, which we do a show now on Sundays from 9 to noon, me and Bickle, and I know you and Pete do a show from noon mm-hmm. to 3 for the foreseeable future on Sundays as well, so you can listen and get your Grant and Danny fix on Sundays as we're split up over the span of 6 hours. But you know, he kept saying he thought Kyle Allen might be able to beat out Dwayne Haskins because he knows the offense and because the offseason is going to be so short and so strange that Allen might actually be better in this offense early next season. And I'm not saying that's unrealistic or even unreasonable. I think it's very much plausible. My point is, who cares? You know, that shouldn't matter. That
right,
Ron
I don't
Rivera,
care about that.
Yeah, Ron Rivera is not going to make the decision to start Kyle Allen because he gives him a better chance to week one, win week one, or win week two. He's going to play Dwayne Haskins for the same reason that he went about the offseason the way that he has, because this is about 2 years, 3 years from now, and not being 2-1 instead of 0-3 in September. He's thinking long game here. The only way he'd have to go to Kyle Allen is the same reason that Mike Shanahan had to bench John Beck when he wanted to play him. You know, the veterans in the locker room basically came up and had a meeting in his office where they said, Mike, you're losing us, man. You're losing this locker room. You can't keep playing this guy when we all know Rex Grossman is better and gives us a better chance to win. And if that happened, where the team spoke and said, you can't keep playing Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen is just that much better, then maybe you make the change. But that's not going to happen. Kyle Allen is not better than Dwayne Haskins and certainly not decidedly better. And I don't think anyone's going to be trying to oust a kid in his early second season and is still in his first 16 games of his NFL career. But here's what I wanted to ask you, because this is what EB asked me, and I thought it was pretty compelling, and it's something, honestly, we could take calls on maybe tomorrow on the show. EB asked me point blank, what percentage of a confidence scale, like 1 to 100, would you say that you are right now that Dwayne Haskins is going to be the long-term answer for the Redskins? So 100 means you are convinced, you have not the slightest hint of trepidation that several years from now, Dwayne Haskins is not the starting quarterback of the Redskins. He is the guy to lead them for years and years and years in the NFC East. One means he's going to be benched in week one by Kyle Allen, for Kyle Allen by Ron Rivera. 1 to 100, your confidence in Haskins being the long-term answer, what would you say?
25. Low.
See, and that's what doesn't make sense. So I'm a 30. EB, for the record, was 50-50, although he kind of admitted he's being a little bit optimistic and isn't quite that confident. But you, like, bill yourself a Haskins guy?
Yep.
A Haskins fan?
Yep.
You're convinced, you know, early on last year that he's kind of the next big quarterback in the league.
He's got a chance to be good.
I would think you like him at this point more than I do, and I'm at 30%. Why are you then at 25%?
Nobody could overcome this situation. That's really what I think where you and I differ is how truly adverse these first couple years are for him. And he's going to be filed in a category that he doesn't belong, the same way Tim Couch was or Akili Smith was or any of the other guys that we view as jokes now as first-round quarterbacks that flamed out and bust. I don't know how much of it is his fault. Now, he earned a little
like
bit of criticism.
That sounds like excuse-making for him.
I think it's real. I mean, now, listen, he should have done some things better as a rookie, and I think he improved on a lot of those things as the season went along. And he's not the first 21-year-old to be slightly immature when walking onto an NFL campus for the first time. I don't think anybody could overcome how truly dysfunctional this organization was, and then this weird situation that he's about to walk into now in year two. Even if everything was normal and great, two different offenses in two different years as you're welcoming yourself into the NFL is too much for most quarterbacks to deal with and end up having great careers. I don't see it happening here, not because of Haskins' inability to do something, just because this is unprecedented. I don't see this as a realistic scenario where he emerges. It's hard enough to be an NFL quarterback as it is. You add in all this other stuff where a coach didn't want him and everybody was found a way to get that out into the media and the tug of war that went on and everything else and a lack of weaponry and this everything that has happened and will happen to him. I just don't see it having a positive outcome. And I say maybe he bears some responsibility for that, but the overwhelming lion's share is this Redskins organization.
Yeah. I think it was a difficult spot. It was going to be when he got drafted here. It was for the last quarterbacks that got drafted here. It will be for the next. That's what happens when you get drafted by a fairly inept organization over a long time. You know, you'll remember that people basically, including you and so many others, you know, basically Griffin was a victim for years and years and years too. And I think history has kind of told that story a little bit differently as he's moved on and has never really captured an opportunity to play anywhere else. You know, we'll see. I believe that Haskins is talented. If he is good enough, he will overcome this. I think Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, you know, Trevor Lawrence, really high-end quality good quarterbacks could do that. I think Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray would have had better years last year than he did here. I think they will have had better second years here than he will have. But if he is as talented as a lot of people think and as we saw in flashes, and if those – you know, somehow all those things didn't matter for those six quarters when he played really well at the end of last season. Somehow he just kind of figured out a way to play well for those six quarters. I think that if you're really good, you can overcome. And I hope that he does. But there's no doubt the deck was stacked against him, just like it was stacked against Ramsey and just like it was stacked against Campbell and so many other guys over the years. It's kind of how it works here for quarterbacks in D.C. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Next, our movie club. We watched Molly's Game this weekend. 1 o'clock, Rick Snyder on Bobby Mitchell. And at 1:30 today, new Redskins linebacker Thomas Davis right here on The Fan. The NFL just named their all-decade team. Trent Williams not on that all-decade team. They named four tackles to the list of the 2010 spanning his time in the NFL. We'll get into that in the final hour of the show on Grant and Danny. A Rick Snyder on Bobby Mitchell's life at 1 o'clock, and at 1:30, Thomas Davis, the new Redskins linebacker. But it is time for our movie club, and the movie over the weekend was Molly's Game. This is an Aaron Sorkin film that came out and hit theaters in 2017. I went and saw it in theater. I remember really thinking the story was awesome when I looked it up. 2-hour and 20-minute runtime. A little bit long.
A little long.
Probably could have trimmed 20, 25 minutes from the movie. I love the way that it's done. It is somewhat formulaic, but it's kind of told with the lead character, who is Molly Bloom, played by Jessica Chastain, narrating the film. And you're kind of time hopping from her telling the story in real time to her attorney, who is played by Idris Elba, who plays Charlie Jaffe, who's awesome, and kind of going back and forth with what happened as she tells you parts of a book that she'd written that is still available for people to go read now. The dad in this movie I thought was the best character. Larry Bloom, Kevin Costner, kind of makes the whole thing work. Not in terms of the most likable character at all, but brings the movie together at the end, is kind of the foil that you can't stand early in the movie as right. well. I really, really like this. I think it's just an amazing story. You know, some stories, Danny, are so good, they should be made into films. This is one of them. And I told you this earlier, anything written by Aaron Sorkin, I'm generally really going to like. You know, I found that out when I first loved the show The Newsroom and then went back and found a lot of his old projects. But as a director, you know, he's also directed West Wing and A Few Good Men, this movie, and you know, some other things like The Social Network that he wrote and did some good things on. He is excellent, and this movie for me is a 8.5 out of 10. I really, really like it.
Yeah, if you like fast talking, if you like people that are, you know, superhuman level quick-witted, Aaron Sorkin is the guy for you. I find it wildly entertaining, by the way. I'm all in. If Sorkin pens it, I usually tend to enjoy it. I'm with you that it's a little bit too long. To me, Jessica Chastain, I think, nails this role. There's one scene in particular that's stomach-turning and hard to watch. It's when, I think you know what I'm talking about, when she gets a visit from the mob.
Yes.
In her, what should be a hyper-secure, whatever, it's rooftop apartment, penthouse suite, whatever it was. That's really, really hard to watch. That's up there in the scene with James Gandolfini in True Romance visiting Patricia Arquette. Trying to find out where the money is. I mean, it's just really, really hard to stomach that. But again, that's the mark of a good movie because you're so invested in this character who's doing something wrong, right? You know this kind of intuitively that she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing, and yet you root for her because she's got principles while she's running this illegal thing, and that kind of becomes the theme of the film.
What's incredible, too, is it is legal for the vast majority of the time. It becomes illegal kind of at the tail end of what she's doing. But for the most part, most of the time, she's not doing anything illegal until the very end.
Right. When she finally takes the rake and acts as a casino, in that moment, as millions of dollars are changing hands and she may not be able to guarantee some of the bets and everything else, she becomes running an illegal game right then and there in that moment. So she goes from nothing to basically, you know, racketeering at that stage in that quick, brief second. So I agree with you. It's very well done. You find yourself identifying with a lot of these characters, how she gets in deeper and deeper and, you know, not sleeping and you know, sort of balancing everything with, you know, various kinds of drugs, both to get up, to get back down.
She's also brilliant,
very
by
strong.
The way.
Yeah.
You know, she's
seriously
very, very smart. She could have easily gone and made probably millions of dollars on Wall Street. I mean, she would have thrived at anything she did.
Yeah, super good.
This character, Molly Bloom, who was an Olympian, who crashed in her qualifying and may have medaled very easily, could have been one of the best female mogul skiers on the planet. I mean, her brother was a medalist and was the number one skier at the time. Jeremy Bloom, who ended up being drafted in the 6th round by the Eagles. And I mean, again, this is all very real, very normal. I should say very known parts of,
sure,
of
sure,
the
yeah.
story if
well
you followed it at all. But
she's a Junks guest, too. She was great.
Yeah, she was awesome on the Junks. I think going back to 17 when I heard that interview is kind of when I found out about it and I started looking it up and I said, well, damn, I'm going to go watch this movie. But I hadn't thought about it since. It's one of those really good flicks that you might not, you know, you go years without watching, you sit down, you watch it, and you get sucked in. And if you like poker at all, and I know a lot of our listeners carry over from the Junkies probably do, it's an excellent poker movie, too. It's not rounders by any means, but kind of along the lines of like 21 or something like that. If you like poker, you're all in. All right, it is time to pick the movie for tonight. And you, me, Thami, Dar have spent time putting lists together. We figured we'd mix it up a little bit. So we've got Cookie Duck Dynasty with us now to make a movie list for us to try to determine what we're going to watch tonight. So how did we do this?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Cookie Duck Dynasty, a.k.a. Brock of Chad Dukes versus the World at the CDVTW News Desk, which, of course, you know. That's where I do cleaning out the keeper on Fridays.
That's right, yes.
Everyone knows that. It used to be
your
studio.
By the way, while you're on, we might as well use this as an opportunity to promote what's coming up on Chad's show. 2 o'clock today, a little over an hour from now.
Absolutely.
What can we hear on CDVTW?
2:15, we have the great Lorenzo Alexander stopping by. We have John McClain, Chris Miller of NBC Sports Washington. It's going to be a hoot. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, very good. What movies might we be watching? How do you want to do this?
I was told to find 10 movies, and I guess I read them off, and then you guys veto them. That's how we do this.
All on Netflix, right?
Absolutely.
Well, some of them are on Netflix. Other ones are available either at 99¢ on various applications or things like that.
We like that. That's fine.
Yeah. So they can be found
free just by putting in the title of the movie. So, for instance, the first movie, the Weird Al Yankovic classic, UHF.
Oh, no.
So, who's got veto power here?
Let's start with Danny.
Very well. Right. I'll say yes.
Okay. Next up, we have the Tom Arnold Snoop Dogg classic, Soul Plane, which is free on YouTube.
That's a big no for me.
Oh, darn. Ryan Pinkston, the kid in that movie, is a buddy of mine.
Okay. Next up, we have Nighthawks, which stars Billy Dee Williams and Sylvester Stallone from the 70s.
I do see a theme here, and it's interesting. So I'm going to say no to that one, hoping something better comes down the pike, but I don't see it coming.
Okay, next up we have The Dirty Dozen. That is available on Netflix.
Yes.
Okay, then we have available at 99¢ on Amazon, No Holds Barred.
I'm going to say yes.
All right. Next up, Snowpiercer, which is available on Netflix.
Yes.
And we have Ip Man, a kung fu film on Netflix.
I'm into that movie. Yes, I want to see that.
Wow.
Okay, a movie that I think is actually fantastic. This would be my one seat on the list. The Foreigner, starring Jackie Chan.
That's a no. That's
okay.
A no for me there.
All right. We also have Bangkok Dangerous, starring Nick Cage.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right. And finally, They Live.
I'm going to say no to that. So there's your list. I knew because I knew Dar wanted that, so that's
Dar
a no.
Seems very upset about
that's
that.
That's a Dar
I can
troll.
Hear him in the background.
So we got six in there. So that's a good first cut.
All right, so now I whittle it down again. So read them again, rapid fire, and I'll yes or no you, Cookie.
I read all 10 of them?
Just the ones that have moved along.
Yeah, because anyone that Danny said no to is off the list now.
It's out now.
Okay, so the Dirty Dozen.
I will say yes.
So then we have Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Yep, man.
No.
UHF?
No.
And I believe Bangkok Dangerous. Was that a no or a yes?
That was a yes. Okay. And I'll say yes to that as well.
All right. I believe that's so that.
So yeah, No Holds Barred, too.
Yeah, No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred, starring Tiny Zeus Lister and Hulk Hogan.
And I'll say yes to that.
So Dar's next.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so we'll start with Yip Man.
Grant said no to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Snowpiercer.
Yes.
No Holds Barred.
No.
The Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
Then we have Bangkok Dangerous.
Yes.
And?
So now it's down to three for Thami.
Okay. So we have Snowpiercer, No Holds Barred, and what was it?
I said no to No Holds Barred.
Oh, you said no. So we have, sorry. I should have used like some colored pens to keep track of this.
He's struggling.
It's Snowpiercer, Bangkok Dangerous, or
Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen. That's the answer.
All right. Yes. That's the movie? The Dirty. Where is that, Cookie? Where can we find
Dirty
that
Dirty Dozen is on Netflix, and that is a classic.
All right, very good. We will watch it tonight. Well done. It was a great job putting the list together. Less of a good job executing the process of whittling down the films.
I entered the studio without a pen, so I was left to use my memory, and that is not good.
And also, he was working, and we kind of just said, go in now. So
yeah,
we didn't really coach
him
up
a little bit. All right, well, that's probably our fault. We got here anyway. Dirty Dozen is the film on Netflix for the Movie Club tonight. That's the very scientific way of how we determine our movies. Thank you, Cookie, for your participation. Next, Rick Snyder on the life and the legend that was Bobby Mitchell. And at 1:30 today, new Redskin Thomas Davis. Final hour of the show kicks off next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.